Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today. This is Spaces Podcast, where we aim to elevate the appreciation and understanding of the spaces we occupy every day. Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Michelle.
Hey, everyone.
And this is Jason.
What's up, guys?
And you are listening to Spaces Podcast. Thank you for coming back, everyone. Short break, 6 months. It's been a little bit of time, but we are back. Thank you for coming back and joining us. Thank you, Jason and Michelle, for hanging in there, coming back. We've been MIA and out of touch from each other for quite some time.
I'm allowed to say I missed you guys.
Yeah, I guess. We'll let that slide. But it's been a crazy year. We can't sign off, I guess, because the world goes insane if we are not creating podcasts. So
that could be the link actually. Yeah.
So I guess we got to go year around now, but right. maybe not yet.
Sounds like a lot of work for you.
Yeah. Not yet. So thank you for coming back. This will be season 4 starting up, and we're actually going to start, by the time you're hearing this, it will be starting up officially tomorrow, June 24th, and we will be starting with an express episode with Jason and I, and we have one guest coming in, and we'll chat with them about their business and kind of what they're doing. So for those that may not be aware of our Express episodes, it's kind of the show within the show. We talk a little bit, it's a more free-flowing conversation, and we talk about a lot of different things in the industry, not just one specific topic. And then we try to bring in a guest every other episode to give their insight of what goes into their profession and help all of our listeners, you guys, understand a little bit more about all corners of our industry. So tune in tomorrow, June 24th, and get this season kicked off. But before we get into catching up here, I wanted to make two quick announcements. And one is actually a reminder. Talked about it last year, but we are network partners at Gable Media. If you're not aware, Gable Media is a network that empowers global leaders in the AEC industry to share their knowledge and expertise. So we have a bunch of podcasts and video content. Last time, if you've been listening along, last time we had 4 podcasts. We are now up to 8, soon to be 9. Wow. Soon to be 9 podcasts. So we have lots of content. And just to give you a run through of the names, I won't get into what each one is. You can check out gablemedia.com, spelled GABLmedia.com. We dropped the E on Gable just to be fancy. But the list of podcasts, if you know any of these, are Entre Architect, Us, Spaces, Archispeak, Build Your Brand, and then the new ones are TRXL or Troxel, Practice Disrupted, Context and Clarity, and Build Smart. So got a lot of content that you can check out there. So go check that out. The second announcement. All right, guys, Jason, Michelle, break out the money gun. We have a sponsor.
Wow. Woo! That's awesome.
So this is actually through Gable Media. It's a network sponsor who's sponsoring the entire network. I won't get into who exactly it is and what they do just yet because we don't officially kick off our contract until July 1st, I believe. Now, getting into this episode, we're going to catch up a little bit. So what have you guys been up to? Michelle, you can start us off if you'd like. I think you always kick it to Jason.
I sometimes kick it to Jason. It's a loaded question. I mean, the last time we were all together was December. It's now June. And so 6 months have passed. We're coming out of a global pandemic. And I actually was anticipating you asking this question and had to look back at my calendar and remind myself, like, what the hell have I actually been doing for the last 6 months? Yeah. And to be honest, I mean, our listeners might remember that I was pregnant last year. I had a baby in July of 2020 in the midst of the pandemic, height of the pandemic, if you will. And so now life is just, you know, we're just getting into our groove. We've got a 10 and a half month old at home. Work and career is just insane. I think our industry, we're all so lucky because I think we were so insulated and whatever the pandemic did for many that was really bad, it actually was really good for all of us. And so we have been just crazy busy at work. And I know that's such a cliche. It's easy for everyone to be like, oh yeah, we're busy, but it's just, we're in that mode. I keep using the hair on fire phrase.
It's like abnormal.
Well, but this is just like, you know, you have these competing deadlines and you're like, what is more important and how do I manage this? And just kind of, you know, again, getting into like that new groove of pre-baby, and maybe other working women can relate to this, but pre-baby, I could manage the meetings and the phone calls and the emails during the workday. And then around 4:30, those would taper off. And then I could do the deep work and the report writing and the underwriting and all the other types of things and stay to the office till 8:30, 9 o'clock, no problem. And I was happy to do that because that's when I could really, you know, fall into my groove. And now with a kid at home, you know, I really have to set some boundaries for myself and have kind of a start and stop. And so it's wild. But I think the other big thing that we've been working on, personally speaking, is pretty extensive remodel on our outside. So landscape, hardscape, new siding, new windows, new roof. We cut back our eaves. We're installing a pool. We're doing an outdoor kitchen. And the project is just, there have been a number of starts and stops, the most recent one having to do with Southern California Edison, which is really a critical path item. So really for like 4 weeks now, nothing has happened. We have a giant hole in our backyard that is ready for a pool, but can't have a pool because lo and behold, there's a giant Edison pipe that runs through the corner of the pool. Yeah. So, you know, it's just, there's a lot going on, but all good things and we're healthy. And, you know, I made it through a pandemic without ever getting COVID. No one I knew personally, I knew a lot of people that had COVID, but no one in my immediate family. So I feel very lucky and fortunate in that regard. And we're just chugging. I mean, it's hard to believe we're you know, halfway through the year basically, and the summer is upon us. And you know, lumber prices are going back down. So you know, things are good.
That's good. Well, I wanted to jump in there on one thing that you said because I don't know if I'll ever get the opportunity or remember to bring this up again, but I highly encourage any of our listeners that are homeowners. I highly encourage homeowners and all of my clients to try to get your land survey and the title report to check for all of those utilities on your site and easements and things like that, just so that you know when you're designing things, especially when you have to dig into the ground. And that's one of the first things that people are like, I don't need that. It's pretty simple.
Let me just say, we have a title report. We have all the plotted easements. We did dig alert. We did all of that. And this was not shown on any of it. So
that's brutal.
So I actually almost wish that the backhoe had just torn the bejesuses out of it and gotten rid of it, because had that happened, turns out it's the main power source to our home, but it's not shown on any, there's no easement. There's no line. It's not, you know, it's not at all shown on the title report or the plat map or plotted easements. And it had, they just ripped the darn thing out, then it would have been an emergency and Edison would have come and reworked it and got it fixed, you know, within 24 hours.
Yeah.
Or they would have put temp power in and we could have continued on with our project, but because they happened to miss it as they were digging and they were like, wait, what's this? Yeah. You know, now we're in this holding pattern of, well, SCE needs to design the darn thing, and then they have to get it permitted, and then they have to figure out where they're connecting to it. And so it's just a whole thing. But I do agree with your recommendations, Demetrius, that yeah, absolutely. You should have your plotted easements. You should have your title report. You should call Dig Alert. You should make sure you understand what's underneath the land that you're moving. But know from my personal experience that it isn't a sure thing that you're not going to find a surprise.
Yeah, that's always going to happen. There's always a surprise somewhere.
Always.
Jason, what have you been up to?
Yeah, it's been one of the craziest years, obviously. I think everybody's going to say that, you know, every time we're asked about it in our life, right? But the funny thing was, in a time when you're supposed to be hunkered down and businesses were suffering and whatnot, my son and I probably traveled more than I have traveled in my entire lifetime in the last year. Literally chasing youth hockey all the way around the nation. Everywhere that was open to be able to play, we flew to and stayed and played and did all sorts of stuff. So it was pretty crazy.
Just to keep him in the flow.
Yeah, the kids, right? The kids on the team and stuff. And I mean, even the fights that we had at the studio with my wife and partner, and them doing everything they did to keep that place open for the girls to have some place to go, and a couple of boys to go and have, you know, the opportunity to have that outlet and that sociability and something to look forward to and whatever. It was an absolute dogfight, you know, all year long. So I can tell you, I probably expended more energy in the last year and a half than I probably ever have in that same type of time stretch. Just to try to keep things moving. So, and then to Michelle's point, you know, what was the term? Essential workers in our business. So, it was from a supplier side, it was a whole new challenge. I mean, in dealing with inventory issues and dealing with, having to, you know, handle a plant, you know what I mean? That could work on maybe 25 or 50% capacity. Still literally met every single deadline, every single time throughout the entire year, never missed a beat. The team did amazing. But it took a lot of horsepower, you know, and a lot of extra effort and, you know, believing that you were doing the right thing, even though it certainly didn't feel like it.
And navigating trade wars, right?
Trade wars. I mean, it was brutal. And the funny part was we had a lot of stuff happen in Northern California. So having to deal with flights canceled, this and that, I drove up there multiple times, just to keep business moving. Cause then you were looking at, you know, all the mouths you had a hand in feeding, you know what I mean? Those kind of things, and making sure business kept going, and, you know, the emotional constructs of what people were going through as well on the team, you know, with everything that was going on. It was a trip, man. It was hard. Yeah. But you know, I do believe we came out of it better and stronger, you know, all the way around from a family side, my wife and I, and brought us way closer to God than we probably ever have been and all that kind of stuff. And so a lot of benefits, a lot of struggles and a lot of benefits. We did get COVID. I never got tested personally, but we're about 99.9% sure I had it. I was a quick one. She got it, and my wife is still dealing with some of the inflammation. So she's kind of one of those long haulers. She's doing great.
Like lung inflammation?
No, more like joint and just body inflammation. Oh. So, you know, as we looked into that, and we had some friends that I would talk to that would tell us, you know, what she needed to do and those types of things. And she did a lot of different things, but she's always seen a homeopathic individual who's done amazing work for her. So, you know, dealt with that. I mean, the kids, we tried to keep them as regular as possible. They were in school half the time. Our school, I don't know if I can say the school district, but our school specifically was fantastic. I mean, absolutely fantastic for the kids and how they handled everything. And our kids had great teachers, and, you know, my wife was in constant contact with the principal. So they did a great job there, and, you know, just trying to figure out how to make it all work. Right. It was a trip on the trade side. I mean, now we're seeing it really bad, but cost of materials, the scarcity of materials, you know, it's a trip. I mean, it still is, and we're not going to come out of it for a year in that regard, at least, but it was crazy. I mean, it was still happy, healthy, alive. I'm in Buffalo today, you know what I mean? Like for another tournament, but really, really no major complaints. What about you?
Oh man. Same, super busy. You can see with or hear with Gable growing, it's taken, you know, a lot of time to get it off the ground and effort. So that's been going, but practice has been going pretty well. I've, I think I mentioned that I had a cupcakery that I had been working on.
Yeah.
So that's where, for those that know, LA is an absolute nightmare. I will tell these horror stories throughout this season probably, but this has just been unreal experience dealing with this project, but we're getting close to the finish line. They're trying to open this fall, so we're getting there. And then I had like three other commercial jobs, a few residential jobs, including an ADU and this pretty huge home in over in your neck of the woods, Villa Park.
Yeah.
So that it's like 3,000 square feet, and we added like another 2,000 square feet.
You got the land there to do it. Yeah.
And then I had just landed a new project. It's a ground up compound, like full on compound for two sisters there and their whole family. So got two houses that are probably going to be about 2,500 square feet each with a pool house and pool. And
nice.
So that'll be fun.
Awesome, Demetrius. How are you drumming up your business? Like, where's your business development? Is it just word of mouth at this point?
Yeah, it's all been word of mouth. So I've been very fortunate in that way.
That's the best.
So I haven't had to exert too much effort to scratch up business. I'm actually turning away business right now and trying to be picky and choosy, because I'm hoping to sort of bake in some downtime where I can actually turn this into a business rather than chasing my tail, trying to put out fires nonstop and get everything scheduled properly and all that stuff. But I'll get into that later as well.
I think that's a pipe dream. I don't know that you can ever actually achieve that.
Get closer to it, I'll say. Get closer to it so it's not so crazy. But then on the Gable Media side, I did want to mention one thing of one of the podcasts. For those that like ours, you may find this one interesting that I've produced. It's called Build Smart, and it's actually a former CEO of HOK. You guys know HOK?
Mm-hmm.
Huge firm. So he's done, and he doesn't like to call it, he calls it repurposed rather than retired. But he has written a book about the growth of HOK and his time during the as CEO. And in this podcast, he's like retelling that story and kind of all the craziness of like how they almost went out of business with like three crises all in 1 year, and all the nuances of running a business and building this massive firm that's like international. So really good podcast, if I say so myself.
Produce one well, at least, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's really good content and a lot of informative stuff that I'm making notes for my firm. So check that one out. And back to us for spaces this season. We're doing a shorter list this year just because of time constraints for the most part, until we can get our team built up a little bit. So if you are a producer or want to be a producer or want to get into this work with us, please reach out to us at hello@spacespodcast.com and we'll have a conversation, see if we can work something out. But we definitely need some help to get where we're trying to go. But for our episodes this year, we're going to do 3D printed homes, mass timber buildings, adaptive reuse, movie theaters, pet care facilities, and we're going to try to do for our landmark episode, the U.S. Capitol, which I think will be very interesting considering what has happened and how that will affect going forward, how they run that place. But any of those jump out in your minds?
3D printed.
Yeah.
3D printed. I just, you know, that topic, whether it's 3D... not being built in the field, needing all of these individuals to do it that we do not have coming to do it anymore is so important to me. Like there's like, I've got even a friend that I'm dealing with in another trade and I'm trying to sort out new ways with, just because it's fun for me to build differently, because it's got to get quicker or it's got to be, it's either got to get quicker or it's got to be manageable by less people.
Mm-hmm.
The scarcity of that skilled labor in so many trades is there's no influx of it. There's just, it's a consistently dying breed. So either that happens where we figure out a way to get more people in, or we're going to run into issues. So 3D printed, you know, anything of that effect that is not directly just like hand sticks on site, that type of deal. Like,
yeah,
got my attention.
Yeah. Michelle.
So we've got 3D printed, capital, adaptive reuse. What were the other three?
Movie theaters, mass timber buildings, and pet care facilities.
Mass timber buildings. I guess I'm not even sure what that means.
So that's like, it's basically timber rather than lightweight wood frame construction. So it's more heavyweight wood that allows you to build skyscrapers to an extent. The highest one that I've seen, and they may have gone higher, but the highest one that I've seen so far was like 14 floors, which is pretty high out of wood.
Okay. Well, then I choose that one because one of my favorite things about what we do on this podcast is talk about spaces that we don't necessarily occupy on an individual basis on a day-to-day. That we're not familiar with. I mean, I think back to, I think, was it two seasons ago? Maybe it was last season where we talked about the cemetery episode with the architect and, and just that whole concept of how are we decomposing and as humans, once we've passed. And that was just like such an enlightening, like, wow, this is why isn't everyone doing this? And so I always love the episodes where we're talking about a space that we just aren't necessarily familiar with, and there's a lot of learning that can come from that.
Yeah, that company is actually growing really fast, and they popped up in several states. I think that was Oregon that they started in, and I saw that they're in like multiple states now, and a lot of petitions going around to bring them into their state because it's not legal right now in every state. But it's rapidly growing. So it'll be interesting to see. They were just featured in like People magazine or something. So they're growing really fast. That's Recompose. And that's the name of the episode as well, if you want to check it out to learn a little bit more. But yeah, that was a good episode. I think mine would probably be, I'm super fascinated to see what happens to movie theaters post-COVID and how do you get, because I'm sure there are going to be, a chunk of people that are still uncomfortable with going into that type of setting, probably almost forever post-COVID. So how do you get those people to feel comfortable and get them back in? Or how do movie theaters evolve to attract people or do their business a different way? What does that look like?
I don't know.
I think it's going to need to be.
It's an interesting question that you said that the idea that people might be afraid, but then you look at like what happened to Disneyland this week when they opened to the public and it's like, well, we're done, we're out of this. And I will tell you just an anecdotal story. If you were following my social media, you know that I did an errand up to Portland, Oregon.
Was it an errand or did you move? You didn't answer me.
No. It was an errand. We were delivering, okay, some tools and heavy equipment to my sister-in-law who builds furniture and theater sets. The tools and equipment were owned by my father-in-law who passed away earlier this year. So we thought rather than sell this, let's give it to someone who, first of all, knows what they are. It was like table saws and all sorts of things. I couldn't even tell you, but someone that is, knows what it is, how to use it, and also will appreciate it rather than sell it. But we went on this journey. It was a road trip because we had to a U-Haul, and on the way up, going through the entire state of California, we were wearing masks based on the rules and regulations of the hotel lobby or the restaurants or wherever we were going into, right? And then on the way home, same exact route, we stayed at the same exact hotel that we stayed at, going up north as we did coming down. And it was just funny because it's like going up, signs everywhere, please wear your mask. Okay, no problem. Signs coming down, and on our drive down, the signs were gone. And it was like, okay, well, here's this arbitrary like date, which is fine. But my point is, because I'm not trying to make a political statement, the point is just that the bounce back has happened very fast, right? So my point being, on a Thursday when we drove up, everyone was very fine wearing masks. On a Tuesday coming home, everyone was like, if I don't need to wear a mask, I'm not going to wear a mask. And you look at Disneyland and the same thing, right? They opened the doors and it's like they got rid of their capacity regulations and everyone was there and ready. And and eager to have a good time. And so I, to your comment, Demetrius, about the movie theaters, I wonder if maybe people just, maybe just we socially just bounce back and we get past it.
I think there's a slight difference though, because Disneyland is outside, and in a movie theater, you're indoors in a confined space, shoulder to shoulder, people laughing and some coughing.
Has anybody else flown? Like, the amount of flights I've taken, like, so people are so done with it. Like, just the whole idea. So the fact, like, I really think there's two things, right, for movie theaters. One, people are starved for good entertainment again. I'm starved for good entertainment. There's, like, no new movies to really watch, right? So people are going to want to go out and start doing that and get together with people. The second thing is that I've noticed people don't care on the mass is what I've noticed now. It's like, remember when they used to say, like, the handshake's dead, you're never going to do any of that anymore? The amount of handshakes and hugs I've gotten on this trip, being in New York of all places, right, which was very similar to California in that regard, they're just like completely like, I don't care. Like, it's a trip. I mean, to Michelle's point, it's like the, it was like a switch just got flipped is what I've noticed.
Well, you're going to see the people that aren't concerned with it. Like, that's who you're going to interact with. So, but totally. What I'm saying is I think there is a segment that exists that are still going to be coming out of this much slower or, you know, effective for a long period of time, just their perspective of putting themselves in certain situations.
But I think that's,
you're definitely not wrong, Demetrius. Yeah. No, you're definitely not wrong. And Jason, I would say that it is highly, highly localized. Right. And so I'll use the comparison of, if you're in Orange County, you can easily have the perspective you just shared of people who are over it. If you go to Portland, Oregon, as an example, people are not over it. I mean, they are still still taking things very seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, the downtown is still very shut down, for lack of a better phrase, or lack of a better
term. That was the first state, right? And they were hit pretty hard.
I can share Michigan, St. Louis, Wisconsin, out here in New York. When we were in Arizona, we went to a couple other, Nashville, we went to a couple other places, and this was throughout the year. Like, and so normally I would agree with you, because you're usually in Orange County, right? Or to a certain degree. But it's like, overall, at least the people that I was hanging out with, so maybe it's because they're hockey people, and maybe it's a very similar mentality, to be fair to your point. But overall, going into restaurants or anything like that, they just didn't care. And in fact, most of them were upset about it still. So, or maybe I'm semi-brainwashed on it, so that's just what I heard too. You know what I mean?
It could be both, Jason. Could we be. Appreciate your openness.
I mean, it really could be. Like, but that's what's been really neat about this whole year, is I'm the guy that walked in without a mask. You guys know me. And it's like, and if somebody really wanted to make a deal about it, I'd put it on or decide if I wanted to be there or not. That's really kind of where I went with it. It wasn't, I wasn't going to be confrontational or do anything of that nature. But for the most part, where I was, it didn't seem to be that big of a deal. But if it was, you just kind of respected their opinion and what was going on. It's like, okay, you know, like, the general feeling to me is people are tired of doing this. You know what I mean? And whether that means it's a good thing or a bad thing, depending on what side you're on, they're just generally very tired of having to put something on their face, tired of having to do things that they don't feel are normal or natural. And so I feel like the bounce back will be pretty quick from just the general interactions. And that's from people that were very cautious too. Like, even super cautious individuals that I knew of, you know, were just like, yeah, I'm done. Like, I just don't want to do this anymore. And I think they're even like, even if it meant there were some other type of risk, they're just like, okay, I'm at the point where the risk reward has been too much now, and I'm just willing to go.
Well, I would say more than likely, a lot of those individuals are people that took advantage of the vaccine, are now fully vaccinated, and are saying, hey, you know, I've done what I can to protect myself and to contribute to herd immunity. And so let's get on with it, and let's get back to business and living and enjoying and all those things. But yeah, Demetrius, movie theaters, you know, people want to see movies, and
back
you
to know, your Jason, point.
Right. Like, but I, you know, you're so on that topic, it's fascinating, right? Because what we all have probably experienced over the last year is just the availability and options that can come through your TV at home, through Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime or Apple TV or Paramount Plus or HBO Max, or like, you right, the list is endless. And you kind of get to a point where you're like, yeah, this is kind of comfortable. But, you know,
I like church on the couch. I really enjoyed church on the couch. I'm not going to lie to you.
But I think you're right, Dimitri. There is something special about the experience of going and sitting in a large theater format with surround sound where you can kind of feel the bass and you can feel the action that's happening on the screen that you can't necessarily get in your living room.
I don't want to watch Top Gun 2 in my family room. I want to watch Top Gun 2 in the movie theater. Like, that's the only way it should be done. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, come on.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
For Goose, right? Come on.
All right, guys. So we'll leave it there. Thank you again for coming back for season 4. Tune in tomorrow for Express, and we will talk soon. Thanks. This show is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. You can help support what we're doing here by leaving a 5-star rating and a review on your preferred podcasting app. It helps others find us, and your support is the only way that this show grows. And don't forget to connect with us through our Facebook community, Instagram, and see the random thoughts and articles that we share on Twitter and LinkedIn. Thank you again for spending some time with us. Talk soon.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually in putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only 2 pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.